what can we take from this year's Cities Outlook report from the Centre for Cities?
And how far do this and other set-piece think tank reports engage with the operational realities of place leadership and management? I'm David Marlowe.
And I'm Mike Spicer. You're listening to LED Confidential, the podcast that lifts the lid on those intractable and enduring challenges facing those of us working in and on LED and placemaking today. A warm welcome to the second of the LEDC Espresso Shots of February, our 10-minute single issue episodes on a key topic that has really captured our attention in the last month. Now, if there's one event in LED and placemaking in late January that you can almost set your calendar by, it surely has to be the annual publication of the Centre for Cities Outlook report released this year on the 22nd of January. But is it an example of what our recent guest, Tom Forth, referred to as analysis paralysis? That is, where we learn more about the economic and social differences between places and across time, but at the same time, we kind of move further away from real world action as we get bogged down in the details. So how can this report and others like it engage with the operational realities of economic development?
Yeah, so Mike, I mean, just a very, very brief bit of background. As listeners probably know, Centre for Cities is a long-standing UK think tank championing UK cities and towns as the national engines of growth and development. And every year they publish Cities Outlook, their annual health check of the economic performance of 63 UK primary urban areas, so all the major cities and towns. And this year they focused on what the press interpreted or termed the levelling down drops in performance in the cities between the post-2010 period and the 1998 to 2010 period. Slower growth, widening north-south divides, and increasing housing supply backlogs over the medium term, so 10 to 12 years for each period, comparing the last 12 years with the pre-2010 period. They characterise that as levelling down. But Mike, what did you take from the report? And why are you concerned about what might be called the operational disconnect of think tank reports?
Firstly, I've got to say, I mean, it's great that research undertaken by a think tank in our sector, economic development, it achieves and manages to achieve quite regularly the cut through that it does. I think that's probably something to be celebrated as professionals in our sector. And as I said in our roundup of 2023, I do think that as we go into the next general election, probably to an extent that I can't recall since the 1990s, it feels like economic development issues are more prominent, perhaps, at the moment within political discourse than they have been in previous political cycles. That is the sort of things we talk about often: housing policy, planning policy, you know, economic development funding. Things that are bread and butter to professionals in our sector are now much more prominent. And one of the reasons for that is the sort of shocking statistics that Centre for Cities appear to have kind of specialised in a little bit over the last year or so. So, you know, the shocking statistic, the headline, the 2024 report about at the national level, people are on average £10,200 worse off than if the economy had grown at its pre-2010 trajectory, rising to £20,000 worse off if you're from Cambridge, as I'm currently am. So we had it particularly bad in my part of the world. They assign reasons to that, including poor productivity growth, worsening housing affordability, so on and so forth. But another shocking statistic I think that I took away from the Centre for Cities report was its finding that the share of children in relative poverty has risen in every city in the UK except Belfast and Basildon, with in-work poverty up almost everywhere. So these are pretty shocking statistics. And the Cities Outlook report, for many of us, of course, remains a wonderful resource for thinking about spatial differences. The Centre for Cities makes a lot of data available through its online platform. But I guess where I come back to, David, is the so what question. That's really kind of at the heart of it, isn't it? We know that the broad outlines of our economic and fiscal distress have done for years. And while more granular details, of course, are interesting for those of us like David and me, who love to talk about these things, they're interesting. But how do you operationalize that insight if you are a leader managing programs, managing a budget, having to make choices about things? I guess that's what I come back to. And it might be a little bit unfair, perhaps, to criticize the Center for Cities and others for focusing on that kind of helicopter view of things. But I would like these think tank reports to perhaps be a little bit more kind of operationally focused. You're thinking about what best practice looks like in program management and bringing to life perhaps some of the program evaluation evidence that we have about what works and what doesn't. The stories that lie behind those statistics, as well as the statistics themselves. I guess that it may be an unfair criticism, but I find myself wanting more of that from these kind of reports. I don't know how you feel about it, David, but I'm always left wanting more, I guess.
I certainly agree that the interpretation of the helicopter view does then default to, you know, the individual places or authorities, local authorities, combined authorities, who then have to make sense of something like Cities Outlook, whether they are actually one of the 63 primary urban areas, or indeed whether they are a part of a primary urban area, or indeed whether they're out with the primary urban area. So the actual operationalization is always a major challenge. And because there are so many think tank reports, you never know exactly which one to do. Again, to the credit of Center for Cities, you know, because that report has quite a lot of longevity, I've certainly been analysing it and reporting on it for 15 years, I think, at least, that it does have merit as part of your annual review at the start of the year. How is my city doing? Are the issues raised the ones that are most relevant for the types of actions we take? I suppose the one thing I was going to end this particular espresso shot with, though, was I think one of the new phenomena that is beginning to address your comment are these local policy improvement partnerships, or indeed the type of regional knowledge aggregation partnerships that particularly UKRI, UK Research and Innovation, is championing in the university sector, which is putting together universities with local and combined authorities and the NHS and other major stakeholders to actually tailor think tank type of analysis to local policy development activity. As you know, one that I'm particularly involved in is Insights Northeast, which is a partnership of the two universities, Newcastle and Northumbria, the NHS, the City Council and the soon-to-be Mayoral Combined Authority, which is doing hugely significant policy development work on everything from, you know, levelling up to investment zones to all the whole gamut of social, economic and environmental strategy. I know there are very similar partnerships. I know Yorkshire Universities, for example, has one as well. And I just wonder whether those are the types of bridges that we will eventually have more universally between the sort of think tank helicopter views and the operational policy.
Of course, there's more than one audience for these reports. And probably if I were sitting in one of the major think tanks, of which Center for Cities is certainly one in our sector, I'd be concerned probably mostly about what policymakers setting the frameworks think of the insights in that report. And while it may be that spatial differences find a kind of expression in local action mostly around benchmarking exercises, let's say, and understanding where places are relative to each other and their strengths and weaknesses and so on, bringing to light these spatial differences clearly has some cut through with national policymakers. And you can see that in, for example, the fact that government departments feel the need to comment on these reports, the fact that they send senior people to the launch events of these reports. So we can be thankful for that and just say, you know, there's more than one type of leadership around local economic development. Some of that, of course, is national, and perhaps that is where we need to influence at least in an era of centralization and what we might term kind of over tight control by Whitehall, it's good to know that it's being picked up by Whitehall, as it clearly appears to be. So that would be how I would round it up, David, I guess, on a positive note, I suppose.
You're always the glass half full.
I am indeed.
Part of our duo. And look, I hope you enjoyed our quick look at the City's Outlook report today. As you know, we always welcome feedback, and we'd love to continue the discussions offline with you on any of the things that we raised today. And there were a number of them. We're experimenting with these LEDC espresso shots, and we would love to know whether you actually prefer this format to the previous, more leisurely format of two or three topics a month over a half hour. But hope you enjoyed it, and do get back to us with your feedback.